Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up! It's time for Just Chicago's Neighborhood Talk with Clifton Pierce, a Canon Media and Axe Entertainment Artists Inc. production.
So listen, welcome. You are tuned in to the Justice Chicago radio show. And this is hosted by Clifton Pierce. He is from Chicago, and this is his show. It's sponsored by the Nick Cannon Foundation, in particular the Cannon Media Network, and also Axe International Artists Incorporated. So listen, I'm excited about tonight's show, Clifton. I mean, he has a lot of hot and inspiring guests that he's inviting that's also being booked into the show. So we're looking forward to hearing what they have to say. So yeah, here's the thing. All the guests, if you want to talk, just press 1 on your dial tone phone. And then that way we will be notified and you will be placed in queue. Also, the standard procedures for this is we want to be respectful to everyone that's on the air. Again, this is a worldwide platform, and we have listeners from all over the world that call in. So our standard is, you know, no cursing. We want to keep it nice and clean and keep the conversation respectful, and also the comments and questions to a minimum of maybe 30 seconds or a minute, so we can give everyone a chance to talk. Having said that, I want to introduce the man of the hour, Clifton Pierce. Welcome.
Hey, sweetheart, how you doing today?
Good to have you.
Hey, I'm coming in live from Chicago. We have a beautiful weather going on in the city today. And one of my first guests, I hope that we can hook him up, is going to be Bobby Hutton. So is there any way you can hit him on the line, Mr. Bobby Hutton?
Bobby okay. Hutton, press of yeah. 1, or Bobby Hubby, you know, welcome to the show.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can, Bobby Hutton.
Okay, I'm here.
Oh, man, we got Bobby Hutton 20 years later. I'm so glad that came through. Sweetheart, let me tell you a little something about Bobby Hutton. He's a fantastic guy. He's a local Chicago artist, and he's one of the first entertainers on Soul Train. But that, I'm going to let him tell you more about himself. Come on, Bobby.
Okay, listen, I'm honored to be here on your program, and
I'm tickled to death.
To meet your guests,
okay. Yes.
You know, to meet your fans and the people all over the world. So I'm really honored to be on it. I'd like to give credit to my dad, who's a Tuskegee Airman, and their Memorial Day is, tomorrow?
Yes, uh-huh.
Is that right? Am I right on that?
Yeah.
And
Labor Day.
He was a Tuskegee Airman. Chauffeured the bombers to Germany, flew the P-51, lost his life July 18, 1944. Fortunately,
right?
he left behind his DNA, which is me.
Okay, now. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And so I'm pretty honored. I'm pretty happy to be his son. I want to tell people about, I've been known in Europe for 50 years, on the first Soul Train for 50 years, 20 years later has reached all around the world. If anybody wants to call in and talk to me, I'll be honored to talk to them. I'll be in the studio on Tuesday recording some new stuff for you.
Is that right? Okay. Is that on a private independent label, or what label is that on?
That's going to be on an independent label, yes. Well,
independent
20 years
label.
Later was on an independent.
Was that independent as well? Bobby, tell some of the people the insides and outs of the entertainment business. You know, how hard is it to get played out there, you know? And then I'm going to tell a couple of stories about it myself.
Well, I can tell you this. When Sam Cooke and Jackie Wilson and the Platters and those guys came along, I think it was easier because they could get their records played, and you could hear it from California to New York.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now whose station was playing the music?
Huh?
Who radio station was playing the music?
WLS.
WLS. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
WLS. I guess it's B96 now. And mm-hmm. black artists couldn't get on. When I came along, black artists couldn't get on BLS. I mean on
Is
WLS.
Right?
Until
mm-hmm.
they went through WVON, or went through. They had to go through mamas and papas stations to work their way up. They call it systemic racism within the radio business.
Okay, that we're still dealing with today.
That's what we're dealing with today.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
you know, I have a lot of records that I feel should have been gone nationwide, but I was fortunate enough that they played them in Europe for 50 years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. From my knowledge, I'm gonna tell a little story. I may have told it before, but I'm gonna tell a story about Mick Jagger when he came to America. Okay, when Mick Jagger came to America, he came to Shea Stadium in New York. And after the concert, everybody rushed up on the stage and said, "Well, Mick, now that you're in America, what's the first thing you want to do?" And he said, "I want to meet Willie Dixon." And nobody knew who Willie Dixon was. And the reason I say that, it was Mick Jagger who got Willie Dixon his royalties for all the music he played and wrote for Coco Taylor and all of them down there at Chess Recording Studio. And, you know.
Listen, I got something to tell you about that, too.
Go ahead.
I can tell you something about that. I was there when they came to Chicago and came in the studio at Chess Records. I was down there.
Okay, what happened? What happened? What happened?
All I know is they came in there. They came in there like gangbusters. They were so honored to meet, Willie Dixon. But
I was saying. Uh-huh. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
No. Finish your story. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, no, I was just saying that. That's all they could hear over in Europe and England was the blues. So these are the artists that they knew about. Lightning Slim, Bo Diddley and all of them, and Chuck Berry. So that's why they developed their music. And on top of that, I want to say to the people that they didn't know and they knew in this game is that it was a black lady who owned the rights to the Beatles. when they first came here. Her name was Vivian Carter. She was out of Gary, Indiana, and she had the rights to the Beatles. And the boys, they took them from her, and the rest is history. But Vivian Carter, she's one of our first companies. Did you know her at all?
I didn't know Vivian Carter. I know the name, but I don't know her personally. Where was she from?
She was out of Gary, Indiana.
She's out of Gary, Indiana. Okay.
And listen, I don't know if you might tell you about, they talk about Diana Ross discovered that Michael Jackson, and, but the real deal there is that a guy named Bill, he had Bill Street. Do you remember Bill Street?
Yeah, I remember talking.
Live Entertainment over there on Halsted. And,
okay.
At that time, the number one group in the city, Young Survive, was the Five Stair Steps. But they had these other kids used to come in from Gary, and their daddy's car wouldn't start until after every night. We'd have to push it down Halsted to get it started. And those were the Jackson Five. You know? Yeah.
I know.
So we got a lot of black history in Chicago, and that's why I titled my program Just Chicago, because it's a million stories in this city, and I'm hopefully that with this program I got that we will be able to tell our story. And what I really want to do is take advantage of the fact that I'm connected with the Nick Cannon Media and all of this talent that we have in the city of Chicago, that I will be able to push it that way so that our people can get a break and that we can get the success that we got coming. Because Chicago is loaded with talent of all nature.
That's true. I don't know if you know that I've been known in Europe for the last 50 years.
Right.
Whatever, all the music that started at WVON, all of my music has been popular in Europe for the last 50 years. So I have to push that in there.
Okay.
All the music that didn't, and the reason why is because the music that didn't get played here in the United States, they played it over there.
Okay.
And every single one of my records that have ever been recorded has been popular in Europe.
Indeed. And well, you know, do you remember when I used to have you at the Zanzaritz on 82nd and Cottage?
Oh, I could tell a story about that.
Listen, if y'all haven't heard, I know y'all heard him say 20 years later and all that. But one of my favorite songs this man sang was "After All." I don't think nobody did that song like he did.
Oh, thank you. You know what? I'm going to record that. And I can't record it right now because I'm doing something else on Tuesday. But I think that I'm going to put that in the program to be recorded because I get a lot of response all over about that song. And, amazing.
I loved it.
It's amazing that you would remember that song after all these years.
40 years later.
That
was 40 years ago. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know, but
well, Bobby,
I'm
you know what?
I'm
honored that you came on board with us. You know, this is our third or fourth show, and we still working the kinks out everything, but I'm so glad that you came on board. And believe me, this will not be your last time. And I really got a feeling that this show is going to blow right up out the water. Okay? And I know it's going to take guys like you to make this happen for me. You know,
okay.
And
like
they say, it takes a village. So it's going to take all of us to make this happen. But it's going to happen for all of us at the same time. So once again, I want to tell you how much I appreciate you coming on board. And I hope you enjoyed being with us for these few minutes.
I did enjoy it.
Okay. Now, is there anything you want to say before we get out of here with you?
Huh?
Now, is there anything you want to say to the people while you're still on the air?
I just want to say that thank you very much for 20 years later. I'm working on the Bobby Hutton story, and thank you, Chicago, for sticking with me.
Well, just remember this too: we also in the movie business, so that might be a story we can work on.
I've got something.
All right.
I need to sit out with you.
Okay, we're gonna talk.
Okay,
ladies
thank
and gentlemen,
you, very much.
You just had the pleasure of dealing with Mr. Bobby Hutton 20 years later, but we got him one day later, and he will be back to see us. Candace, what you got for me now?
We got something special coming up right now. I want to play one of his 20 years later.
There it is.
Thank you.
So there it is. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands
so
up.
Many years.
Chicago's very own, Mr. Bobby Hutton.
Trying to find my love. to find the love.
Yes.
All she stole.
As long as
popular,
even insane.
Away.
In Africa.
When we were young.
Sanders, I'm gonna lay my phone down for a minute.
So
I gotta step a little bit. Just a little bit. Come on, y'all, let's step with this one.
I can't seem to forget.
All right. Bobby Hagan. Enjoy being with you.
I
thank you so much.
Get much better.
Okay, who you got for me now, Candace?
Whoa.
I'm out.
All right, Bobby. Thank you for being on the show.
Okay, break
thanks
that one down for me. How you doing, Frida? Huh?
I'm out.
Okay, who you got
all
for
right
me now?
Well, we got the callers. One on your dial tone phone if you want to chime in and you want to say something.
Okay. I got Mr. Paymon Ramey. I need him on the air there too if you can take his phone call. Paymon, are you on there at all? Paymon,
okay.
You're the same. Paymon, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Great. I'm having a fantastic show. I'm having one fantastic show. Listen, let me tell you something about these people. These people don't do public appearances. Okay, they don't do this here. But I'm so blessed to have Bobby Hutton, who's really a giant in Chicago and around the world, as you heard. But here's another gentleman right here that I'm going to let him tell his own story because he has a story to tell. And Mr. Paymon, you want to come on with what you're talking about?
Yes, I appreciate you. Thank you very much for having me on. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We
Hello?
Hear you well.
Okay, cool. All right. Appreciate that. I am, for those folks that don't know, I'm originally from Chicago. I started here in theater ages upon ages ago with the Lomazino Theater, the Kumba Theater, and the Southside Center for the Performing Arts on the Theater Award. I'm also a filmmaker, producer. So I worked as a casting director and as an actor on Mahogany and Cooley High and Spook Who Sat by the Door and Uptown Saturday Night, a bunch of those films.
Mm-hmm. Hey, tell them about the Spook Who Sat by the Door and why we had to film that in Gary.
Well, because of Mayor Daley.
Mayor
first,
Daley.
Old
mm-hmm.
Man Daley at
mm-hmm.
that time had restricted the use of the city after The Untouchables was done. His opinion was that The Untouchables had created this environment where people looked at Chicago negatively, and he didn't want that to continue. So he shut it down, and then when we tried to get a permit to use Spook, we couldn't get one anyway, so we had to end up shooting it guerrilla style. So we did shoot on Titus Grove, on King Drive. We shot in Sam Greene's apartment in Woodlawn. And a number of other places, but the majority of the filming was done in Gary, Indiana, and then we also shot in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And as it would be, years later, I produced a film called Of Boys and Men with Robert Townsend and Angela Bassett that we shot on the West Side. This was, I believe, in 2011, maybe a little earlier.
Now let them know that Robert Townsend come from the West Side of Chicago. He's one of our local boys.
Most certainly. And when we mm-hmm. did that film, it was the first film that allowed the insignia of the city to be
mm-hmm.
on police cars.
Is that
because,
right? Okay.
The original Daley had shut that down, and so we actually ended up that process of opening it back up again. So that's the Spook Who Sat by the Door story. Then I did Mahogany and Cooley High and a bunch of other films. So most
mm-hmm.
recently, as I mentioned, I did A Boys and Men that we shot on the West Side, and then of 93 Days, which I shot in Nigeria, starring Danny Glover, which is currently running on Netflix and Amazon Prime. And
I'm still here.
That I received an African Academy Award
mm-hmm.
nomination and an African People's Choice Award, which to me was just absolutely incredible. And you have to keep in mind that there are more films produced in Africa than there are in the United States. So to be
is
in
that right?
And that's, yeah, it is by far. There are over 1,800 to 2,000 that are produced in Nigeria alone every
mm-hmm.
year. So to be in that classification and to be nominated on the continent and to drive through Lagos and to see a big billboard up with my name on it. It was just super cool.
Okay.
And also greatly appreciate being able to do that.
Let me ask you this here. Is it hard to get in SAG and after the unions that they have to be in?
You have to have a SAG job to get in SAG. So that's one of the issues, and then of course the money that you have to pay to join. But you actually have to. But what you can do is if you audition, and someone hires you on a SAG job, you can pay your way in at that point. All of this stuff is difficult because it's greatly helpful when you have talent, but it's also more helpful when people know who you are. You know, there's a saying that it's who you know. It's really not who you know. It's who knows you. Because most of us know Spielberg, for example, or most of us know Spike Lee, but does Spike know us?
Mm-hmm.
And so once you turn around and you get people to know you, there are tons of people that are in the world that can utilize your services, irrespective of what field you are in, but they have to know that you exist. And so you have to come up with a way to be seen, to be active, and to be relevant in terms of the industry at the moment.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this here. For these young people that want to get into the industry, movie, television, radio, the whole nine yards, what do you suggest those in Chicago? Where do they go? What should they do? The Second City, I understand Second City has a lawsuit, the fact that they were discriminating against blacks. You got the Little Black Pearl Theater. You got Miss Taylor and her theater group. What's the best route for a young person today to go to be seen or get started in their career?
Well, you know, first of all, it's important to understand the industry. So if I was going at it at this point, aside from taking some classes, which I would do, I would also volunteer at theater companies. I would volunteer on film sets. I would work as an extra on films, because then you get a chance to see what the industry is like. I personally don't like films. I mean, I do them, but in terms of the amount of time that they take, how long it takes for it to come out, it's arduous work. So my preference is talk radio. Out of all the mediums that I work in, my preference is talk radio. And the reason for that is that you can walk in or not. You can do like what we're doing now from home, and then you walk out. You're not responsible for a whole bunch of people. You don't have to worry about the budget thing as heavily. You know, so that's my preference. But my major recommendation to people is that you find out the industry that you're really in. I say the same thing to people that want to be in the medical field. You don't know if you want to be in medicine until you smell the blood. You don't know whether you really want to be in medicine until you go into the emergency room and you see somebody cut open. That's when you know that you want to be in the field.
Man, whether you got that calling or not.
And so in the entertainment industry, it's the same thing. This is a strange time for me to really answer the question that you raised, because so many people are stressed, and this industry is so stressed, meaning that a number of the theaters that are currently open, because I was on the Jeff Committee, which is the organization that gives awards to theaters, and so I resigned from there about a year and a half ago. And prior to my leaving, I saw over 170 plays. And that were being produced. Well, with the COVID-19, everything is associated with the economy. A lot of those theaters are going to be closing. They're not going to be able to maintain themselves. For example, if you can only do half the audience that you say had 100 seats,
not enough to sustain
yourself. Not on 50 seats.
Let me ask this question here. Did you personally know Don Cornelius?
I had met Don. I didn't know Don, but I did know Clinton Jett, who did Soul Train prior to Don here in Chicago, in Channel 26. And because it was on 26 first, I think it was 26. Yeah, Channel 26. I don't remember what the call letters were now. But during that period of time, Clinton Jett came on. The show wasn't as successful as it was when Don Cornelius took over. And then when he took it under his wing and moved it out to California, it just skyrocketed.
This is like
some
that.
Of that is an expression of how
you know who was on the first one, don't you?
Mm-hmm. I didn't understand. No,
somebody else came in, I think. Well, you know what? We're going to come back at you, okay? And I really enjoyed just having you on the show, first of all. Like I say, we're working and getting all the kinks and everything out of it. But we're going to have an audience here where we can reach these people and teach these people. And I'm hoping that I can call you again to be on our show and get all the exposure that we need. We're looking for Nick Cannon Media to come to Chicago and take it by storm, because it's a storm brewing here, a storm of talent. And we're going to tie into that talent and make it happen. We're going to make this the capital of theater and movie and the whole nine yards. So, again, on behalf of Nick Cannon Media and all, I want to say thank you for joining us.
I appreciate the invitation. And let me just say, we are the capital. The difference
yes, sir.
Is
thank you.
That we
yes.
haven't had good mm-hmm. marketing people. And so the mere mm-hmm. fact that you're doing this show gives the Chicago community an audience to be heard and appreciated mm-hmm. in a way that they wouldn't in the past. So congratulations
okay.
to you, and anything that we can do to help to support this movement forward, we will do as well. So thank you for having me on.
Okay, well, I'll convey that to the whole Nick Cannon Media family, and I thank you. Candace, what you got for me? Candace?
Hello,
Candace? Okay, I'm ready to take a few call-ins if we can.
I'm Bobby Hutton. I'm still here.
Hi.
Yeah, it looks like we have a guest, Shelly Mancione from L.A. She just arrived. Shelly, you're live on the air.
Is that the boss lady?
Is that the boss lady? I'm in live here.
Hey, boss lady.
I'm in live.
Hi, Shelly.
Hey, how are you guys doing, Candace? I'm in Las Vegas.
Hey, are you in Vegas? How you doing, sweetheart?
I'm in Las Vegas, everyone. You all. Let me try to make sure you guys don't hear all the volume back here. Thank you for being a part of the Nick Cannon Foundation and media. I have done so much footwork just here in Las Vegas, and I'm seriously saying that we have been filming. And I have a gentleman by the name of Robert West. He's as the same story a lot of people do. But one thing he did, he took the initiative to put up some sort of a budget and make sure that Shelly Mancione was here to be able to help direct and educate him on how you go into production, where your team is fed, your team feels comfortable, you know, your leading cast feel important, and everyone's protected in a time like coronavirus. And it seems like those would be natural abilities that come to us as folks who say, I'm going to start my own show today. I'm going to, okay, well, Nebuchadnezzar, I'm not one to act as if I know everything in the Bible, but I know enough in order to get to heaven, okay? So I believe there was a guy by name Nebuchadnezzar, and he felt like he knew everything. He felt like he knew everything. He opened up his window, my mom said, and he said, I did all this here. All this. Well, I think the scary part was he was found grazing in the grass there with these very long nails and a snouted nose, and he had just pretty much lost his mind until he would confess that he did not create himself. And so when we create these radio shows, we do this out of – I'm humbling myself, merely. I'm telling God, you know, God, I don't want to feel like I'm here alone in the world. I know I didn't create any of this. I know Nick didn't do any of this. I know that you had done this, God, and that you, Jesus, by the blood of back of Jesus, we are making all this happen. I sit here. I'm watching all these folks work. I'm watching all these folks move under all these circumstances. You can hear fire trucks going off. I see Ferris wheels still moving. I see the liquor store still running. I'm right here out by the link. It's the link in Flamingo. I just walked outside and, you know, and decided to get a breath of fresh air. And I do that everywhere I go. I watch people. Now I want to be able to not just document, but I want everybody to document what is happening. This is like a time capsule. We are leaving behind our time capsule, our legacy. Mm-hmm. If you were to die tomorrow, would you feel complete? Yes, because you have a radio show. You have
Thank
a radio
you,
show.
No, that you
so
have
radio
make happen.
Show.
Mm-hmm. But Shelly, do me a favor. Tell the people who you are and what your position is.
My name is Nichelle Scott, also known as Shelly Mancione. I am the vice president of the Nick Cannon Foundation. So I have an ability to be able to transform. I have a Magneto-type personality. There's no type made. I'm just intelligent, but I like to play extremely silly at times. I'm very innocent acting. It can come off as if it's really true, like you're really so sweet. But then at the
ladies
same time,
let me tell you this here.
Playing.
She's being modest, but we're talking about the boss lady. She's the one brought me on board, and she's the one that making this clock tick. And I want to let you know,
very
too,
sweet.
By the way, October 4th, we're coming to Chicago. We're coming to Chicago October 4th.
We are working on police reform. My job, excuse me, I hate to cut in, but I'm going to
have
to.
Come on, baby. Come on. Come on.
There's Bentleys going by, and they probably want to know who I am right now. Yes, please, Bentley. Right, take down
okay.
the phone number. Okay, so as I continue to work, y'all, and I'm going to go ahead and jump off the phone here, we are going to be working with mayors and senators, council members. Right now, my cousin Nick is chairman of HR 1242 Reparation out of Washington. That's what y'all were talking about the other day. I tried to jump in and try to save you. Nick is going to be responsible where takes part in the play to where black folks have a check in the mail to where they feel this is what they see, this is what they feel they needed, instead of us sitting around arguing and fighting. Politics, but it's coronavirus right now. So please let me jump off the phone. Thank you, Cliff, for being a part of what's
I
going
love
on
you, baby.
As we speak.
I love you, baby.
You guys, as we speak, we have people. I wish we can get them live. They are walking with their Jesus is here. Repent or perish. Where will you spend eternity and prepare to meet thy God? So I'm so happy that you guys got to tune in on the Candace and Shelley radio show with Clifton Pierce as our host, as our president of the Canon Media as far as Chicago district goes. And y'all have a good day dealing with me. Thank you.
Thank you, baby. Thank you, my dear. All right, Candace, who we got on the line? We got somebody else on the call here.
Wake up. It's time for Just Chicago's Neighborhood Talk with Clifton Pierce. A Canon Media and Axe Entertainment Artists, Inc. production.
So let me tell you some of the things that are going on here in Chicago.
Huh?
Okay, we got somebody on the phone. I do want to take a few phone calls.
Okay, callers, if you want to you want to get on the line, you want to say something, press 1 on your dial tone phone, and we'll put you. In the meantime, Cliff, just take it from here. You're doing great.
Hey,
let
me say this here.
Yes.
Right here in Chicago, we have a virus that's killing people. We got people that are killing people, and we got the government that's killing people. Okay, and the point I'm trying to say here is that we just had a situation where marijuana has been legalized in the state of Illinois, and yet we as blacks, we can buy it, but we can't sell none of it. They just had an auction where anybody that had qualified would be part of the team to possibly get a dispensary. No blacks got it at all. You know, Pritzker was all over us when he was running for governor, and now he's turned into a ghost as far as I'm concerned when it comes to cutting us in. You know, cut us in or cut it out. You know, hey, we deserve to make some of this money too. And let me give you something about the kind of money that has been spent in Chicago on nonviolence. $950 million spent in the city of Chicago to prevent violence, and yet our violence is up like it's never been before. You know, I say again, we got a superintendent here that came from a AAA ball, and when you come to Chicago, man, you come into the major league. You got to step up in this game here, man. You dig what I'm saying? So therefore, he got it. Let me tell you something. You know, being from the streets and everything and running nightclubs like I have, you have to know how to handle and work with people. And I want to say to Mayor Lightfoot, stop pointing your finger at people. That's a sign of aggression, okay? When you're walking in the woods and you walk up on a bear, if you move from side to side, he's not intimidated. But if you break and run, he know you're scared. You dig what I'm saying? And if you look right at him, he's thinking that you're intimidating him. But if you move side to side, he won't go one way, you go the other way. And every time she's on this press conference, she's pointing her finger and talking loud and pointing her finger at people. That's signs of aggression. Them young people ain't going to hear that. They're not going to take that. These are new kids today. And we've been putting so much emphasis on the boys. We need to help these girls. Listen, these women carry these babies for 9 months. They have an attachment to this child. We got to help these mothers be mothers. That's where it begins at. You get the girls straight, the boys will be straight. And I'm just saying that. You got these prisons here. Prison is a business. Right now they're attacking Kim Fox. Why are they attacking Kim Fox? Because she's letting all these people out of prison. Kim Fox, they did not hire you to let people out of prison. You hired to put them in prison because we are business. $33,000 a year is made to every prisoner that's being housed in the state of Illinois. So you letting them out so them big boys are losing money. That's why they coming at her. They got his money. It ain't got nothing to do with color. Now, all you poor people, y'all fight over this color. But them big boys, it be about the money when it comes to them. And, you know, I'm not knocking Michael Jordan or something like this. But the bottom line is, a man, kids are getting killed trying to buy his $100 gym shoes. And yet, he's invested in three prisons in Illinois. He make money from going and coming. You know, we gotta do better than black people. We got to do better than that. J.B. Pritzker, you got to help us out, man, because there's money on the table to be for these communities that we're not getting. And you the governor, man, you got to make this stuff happen, you know. Mayor Lightfoot, at the rate you're going, I just can't see you being nothing but a one-term mayor. You took the power away from these aldermen, and they're not going to do nothing to help you. You got federal marshals for bodyguards instead of Chicago Police Department. That put animosity in their ear. And then you went and hired a guy from Dallas to be the superintendent of police. And these other boys been on the job 30, 40 years. That's why so many of them are leaving now, because they felt like they've been overlooked. So these are some of the things that's going on. And then we talk about this voting. Listen, early voting starts, I think, in 2 weeks now. Early voting starts in 2 weeks. You can apply for your absentee voting now as we speak. Okay, and I'm asking Joe Biden. I asked Tony Preckwinkle, who's president, Cook County Board president. I asked her, where was Joe Biden's office at? Okay, we're less than so many months out from the presidency. Joe Biden does not have an office in Chicago. Do not take black people for granted. And one of the things I try to tell them, you're not running against Donald Trump. You're running against voter apathy. What are you going to do to make these people get out and vote? You know, that's what I'm talking about. What are you going to do to make these people get out the vote? And I don't care how sophisticated your aeronautics situation is. You need troops on the ground. You need people out here knocking on doors and talking to the people. And speaking of that, people, I'm here to ask you again, please register to vote and also to sign up for the census. The census determines how much money comes in the community. Okay, and then stop voting for these people that keep telling you the same thing over and over. So, you know, we got to have somebody. We got to start having these black public officials in the city of Chicago. They need to be held accountable. We want to know their voting record. What did he do? What did he do? What did he do? You know, where's our share at? You know, so these are the things, some of the things that I want to talk about. And like with this mail situation, the U.S. mail, that's not by accident they playing with the mail like that. You know, not only that, but the post office is hiring. As we speak, the post office is hiring. All you young people out there looking for a job, the post office is hiring. They know where in the world they're going to be able to get all these ballots out come election day. So right now they're hiring, and they're going to be working around the clock. Okay. Have we got any calls coming in, sweetheart?
No, not yet. We got, okay.
You know, and let me tell you something else about these marijuana sales, okay? Pembroke, Illinois is one of the poorest states, one of the poorest cities in the state of Illinois. They are black farmers. So, you know, if they black farmers, they got great farm dirt down there. Folks, I know people that are buying collard greens, but the marijuana law says that any marijuana that's sold in the state of Illinois has to come out of Illinois. And I'm telling these people, I just want to tell these people in Moments and Pembroke and all of them, y'all start growing weed. It's legal. Start growing weed. Start growing weed. That's an economic boom. Don't sell your property. White folks gonna come down here and try to buy up all their property because, like I say, the law says that you have to buy the weed that you're selling in these dispensaries has to come out of the state of Illinois, and they're making billions of dollars. It's more money than they ever anticipated that they were gonna be making with this weed. And also, I wanna talk about the importance of having insurance. You know, black people as a whole do not create generational wealth. Have your affairs in order. You can lose somebody in your family and is dying, and you're devastated by them dying, but the devastation can keep going due to the fact that you didn't leave a will, and now the family is fighting over this and that, this and that. Create your will now so that the family can go on after you. Of course, you got brothers and sisters and aunties and cousins today don't even speak to one another because somebody died, they had $3, and they didn't get their 50-cent part of it. So it's important that you take care of your personal health insurance and all things like that. Okay, Candace, we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back at them, right?
That's right. That's right.
Okay, all right. Okay, so we'll take a 5-minute break, honey. Miss Hartman, to come on in. Come on in, Miss Hartman. Yeah. Miss Hartman, she was ahead of her time. She's one of my guests last week on my show. She has a magazine called Indigo, and she was perceptional enough to move it into the digital world. And now she has a TV program called Indigo Magazine. And I was hoping that she'd be online, and I get a chance for you to hear about her situation. She's been in the business over 30, 40 years in the magazine business and everything, and she's covered some of the top people. As a matter of fact, she was very instrumental in Barack Obama being involved with politics from Jump Street. And it's a funny thing how you help people and then you don't hear from them no more. But that's another story within itself, you know. And but the beat goes on. Listen, let me tell you something I found out about this week. You know, my hobby is knowledge. I love knowledge. I love finding out stuff. I found out about a terminology called buck breaking. Okay, buck breaking. Back in slavery days, when you had all black men being were called bucks. You know, they say that buck over there. They say that mule over there, that buck over there. That was a black man. And when you had a black man that was resistant and wouldn't take orders, they would call what they call buck busting. And this is where they would actually take them out and in front of the rest of the slaves or their family have sex with them, have sex with the men to break them down, to scare them, to put fear in them. It's called buck busting, okay? And the reason why I say that, because we've had a couple of ball players just recently speak about they were afraid. See, the word subliminal means that you kind of imply it and they catch it for themselves. And what I'm trying to say here, when our young people see somebody like LeBron James saying that he's scared to go outside, he's scared of the police, that's a subliminal message that's being given to our young boys. Man, LeBron, man, he got all them muscles and he's scared, and he got all that money and he's scared of white folks. Maybe I should be scared of white folks too. Be careful what you're saying. Be careful what you do. Don't think for a minute there ain't nobody watching you. And I'm just saying it's important that we save our children. I ain't got but 5 minutes left on this earth, but I'm going to do everything I can to reach for my seniors and do whatever I can to work with these children and everything. And I don't know, it's something about politics in Chicago that once they attain this position, they forget. They forget. They don't come back to really do nothing. I have no money, but I got a phone, and I can make things happen. I make things happen. I called Willie Wilson. He gave me 2,000 masks. I passed them out all in the seniors' buildings and people on the street. I'm riding down the street, people at the bus stop. I just get out the car and having a mask. You know, I don't understand how you cannot want to help your people. I don't understand that, you know. But anyway, once again, I would like for Ms. Hartman, if she come on board, if she's online, and what's happening there, September 9th, I'm going to be on her show. It's called Indigo. I'm going to be on her show. She wants me to come on there, and she wants me to talk about what it's like being a black man in Chicago. Are you kidding? If she got an hour show, it ain't going to be long enough to talk about what it's like to be a black man here in Chicago. So this Chicago is a city of two cities. It's a city of two cities, you know, and we blacks are being left out one way or the other. We're being left out, and then we've been sold out. So that's another story within itself. Okay. So have we got any call-ins yet that you might want to ask some questions?
I mean, you know, we have callers. If you want to say something, press 1 on your dial tone, and that will let me know. We'll see it in the back office, and we'll go ahead and put you on the air. But, yeah, well said. Well said. I'm loving the show. I'm loving what you're saying. I agree. I agree with the, I guess, the sensationalism of just watching all the police brutality and what's going on and the black men being killed, you know, on air, you know, through social media, we have access to watch it. And I think it's traumatic. We shouldn't be watching that, because that, in a way, is putting fear in the young black men, you know, fearing the white man.
Yeah, and like,
again,
What did they do before we had these cameras? What were they doing to us before everybody had a camera? My God.
Yeah.
What were they doing to us? I know some of my guys have been gone 25, 30 years in the penitentiary. They search them and say, oh, what's this in your pocket? I ain't mine. Yes, it is. It's yours now. And every policeman I knew back in the day had what he called a throwaway. In case he shoots somebody, he can always throw and plant a gun on them. Man, I mean, Chicago has just been a tale of two cities all the way down the road. And you're talking about what it's like being a black man. You don't have enough time and energy to hear about what it's like being a black man, how you got to sit up straight when you're riding through certain neighborhoods. You understand what I'm saying? And you got to check yourself this way and that way. You got to be careful what you wear, careful what colors you got on. It's rough being a black man in the city of Chicago. Yeah, it's rough. It's rough. And one of my things is how important it is for a child to have a job, a black boy to have a job. Listen, if a black kid has a job, he's going to work 8 hours. So if he's working 8 hours, he's going to sleep 8 hours. So he only has 8 hours to get in trouble with. And a boy with a job and getting some rest, he ain't going to get in no trouble that quickly. A job is most important. We got a gentleman here, Willie Wilson. He's giving away so many things. He's a millionaire, multimillionaire, philanthropist and everything. And he's been giving everybody masks and all these. Mr. Wilson, I'm going to publicly say on this radio program right now, buy one of these closed-down schools and teach our kids how to be carpenters, electricians, plumbers, nurses, doctors, the whole nine yards. Let's be self-sufficient. And Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that. The cavalry is not coming for us. We got to have our own horses. We got to have our own swords. And I hope you saw what was down there in Kentucky yesterday. 300 militia men walking with arms. 300 armed men walking. Okay? I mean, we on the verge of a war here. We're on the verge of a war. And this man would do anything. This man would do anything to stay in office, including throw his kids up under the bus. That's how bad he wants to stay in office. And one of the reasons why he wants to stay in office, because if when he get out of office, he's going to jail. Yeah. So he's fighting for his very freedom, you know. But once again, when I say all that I say, Chicago is one of the most beautiful cities in the world. Our architecture, our streets, our neighborhood, our people, our style, our dressing. We are truly some of the best people in the world. And I just recently put on my Facebook page that I want everybody to say hello, teacher. My Facebook page lit up with people hollering, hello, 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 hello. Just want to say hello, man. You know, just say hello. It can mean a lot to a person just to say hello. So I want to say hello to everybody. Hello, hello, hello. Candace, how are we looking?
Yes. Yes. Hello.
Okay,
all the way from Miami, Florida. Hello. No, this is great. This is great. We'll be there shortly, hopefully in Chicago. The travel bans will be lifted, and we can definitely come in town and have the book signing and meet you and meet all your affiliates, and I think it's going to be a great time. I'm looking forward to it.
That's going to be October 4th at the 50-yard line. Most of my listeners know where the 50-yard line is. And I'm looking to shut down the street that day. I need police protection. I need traffic coordinator, the whole nine yards. Hey, listen. Hey, Roy. Just 1 minute, please, Roy. I want you to say something to the world. Okay. Listen, I'm at my friend's house, and I'm doing my show in his backyard. Okay? So, listen, are we about ready to sign off? Because we're ready for this steak to be done. How much time we got, baby?
We're ready. You sign it out. You sign it out. It's your show.
Okay.
Let
me say to all our listeners out there, I love you. I love you. I love you. And I can't do none of this without your help. Yeah. Without your help. We're going to dream big and we're going to do big. On behalf of Chicago, I want to say so long.
Wake up. It's time for Just Chicago's Neighborhood Talk with Clifton Pierce. A Canon Media and Axe Entertainment Artists, Inc. production.